Outside of COVID, if there's one thing I could have destroyed over the last 20 years, I would choose social media.
Okay.
Right? I think social media has made the worst of everybody, really. And there's lots of great things in it. I love that I can stay in touch with work colleagues and old friends around the world and all of that. But I just think that maybe if we went without it, we might be better off. And social media have tried to make some changes over the years where we've gone, hey, this isn't appropriate. And they've gone, all right, we'll give you a chance to flag and report that. And we'll get some moderators to look at it. And we'll decide whether it's suitable for the public. And by that, mm-hmm. they mean we're flicking this to our bots. And we've got a couple of robots that are going to look for some things and they're going to decide what's appropriate for humanity or not. Right. And as a result, I've seen some really shocking things on Facebook and different mediums where I've sort of gone, God, that shouldn't be shown. That's terrible. And reported it. And they've gone, yeah, it's not breaking any of our codes. So, like, we're fine with it. On your way. Until my friend this week has added me on Facebook and I thought, I'm already friends with him. Like, that's weird. And he sent me a message and said, just letting you know, you've got a friend request from me and it's legitimate, but I've had to start a new account because Facebook shut me out. Oh. And he's got shut out because Facebook have said, look, we're going to start doing better. We're going to shut down some of the things that should not be seen on Facebook and inappropriate language and racism and hatred and all of the things that we shouldn't be seeing. Except the bots are somewhat confused about the way they're doing this job and they're just picking out words that suit them. So my friend was banned from social media, banned from Facebook because he put up a post or commented on something that said, I'd murder someone for a Cookers raspberry shortbread cookie. Now, right. I've never had a Cookers raspberry shortbread cookie, but looking it up, I'm like, I get it. Okay, it's a biscuit brand. They also do a chocolate jam cookie. And they're an Australian biscuit and they sound delicious. And he so badly wanted a raspberry shortbread cookie, they saw the word murder and they got rid of him. They've just got rid of him. He's gone. And I just thought, I want to know what got you banned from social media. Because I saw the same thing last week when a couple were celebrating their anniversary and someone has gone on to say, happy anniversary, but 40 years. Ugh, can't believe you haven't killed him by now. And suddenly you're banned from Facebook, auntie. See you later. Gonski.
Well, I've heard stories of people putting up posts or, you know, photographs of themselves on holiday and the algorithm has decided that the photo, even though it wasn't a naked photo, but there may have been a lot of flesh being shown, was inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. If you're a female, yeah. That's really, if you're a female, you can't show butt or boob, but if you're a bloke, you can get out whatever you like. Facebook, absolutely. Yes.
What a great world.
They always pick on the female body and not the males. It's ludicrous.
Glenn in Tapping, good morning, mate. What happened?
Well, it's not actually me, but happy Friday, Pete, Matt and Kimber, for a start.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, brother.
Oh, yeah. And I'm on the way to work because I slept in and I'm running late.
We like your form, Glenn.
All right, so my good mate, I won't name him, you know, because he'll want to beat my head in for it, but he gets kicked every other week off Facebook. And, maybe once or twice he's maybe used a swear word, and that's a legit.
And so has he been kicked off for swearing?
No.
Oh, we're losing Glenn.
Hang on.
Oh, the government have got involved again.
Yeah, they have. He's going through a tunnel. We'll see if we can get Glenn back. We've got Hannah in Kenwick. Good morning, mate.
Hey, how you going?
Good. What got you banned from socials?
So I had freshly laid lawn, and I was pretty proud of it. Put on a picture and said lawn porn. And that got me banned.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, these bots are clueless, right? They're not shutting down things that they should be shutting down, but you're so proud of your lawn. Wow. And Pete wants to see that lawn too.
I do want to see that lawn.
Me too, yes.
I'm mad about lawn.
I'm not sure if it'll be any good now.
Oh, God, Hannah. Okay. Laura in North Perth, what about you?
I did the classic, like, bikini on holiday shot.
Oh.
But didn't get banned for nudity. I'm not the most blessed in the chest, and I got banned for minor safety.
So, what?
They thought you were a child.
Yeah, I had to provide proof of age that I'm actually 25.
So, oh, wow.
Mate. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but my goodness.
Oh, no, just straight savage.
That is savage. Like,
Pete, Matt and Kimber. At 7:30 last night, the Premier Mark McGowan graced our television screens with this announcement.
We have reworked WA's safe transition plan. WA's updated plan will begin to be implemented on February 5. We will keep our hard border controls in place, but with more exemptions, especially for compassionate cases. So from 12:01 a.m. on Saturday, February 5, the hard border will stay with new settings that will have a focus on both safety and compassion.
So the hard border pushed back at this stage indefinitely.
Tough one, isn't it? I mean, like, and today there's going to be a lot of people feeling it. I think today's one of the days where I think we're going to most realise that nobody is the same as you. Whatever your stance is on this, whatever your situation is, everyone is different. And there are a lot of people who are absolutely devastated today over not being able to see family and friends. And then there's a lot of people that are very relieved because, let's face it, COVID sucks and it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, my best mate Boogie, who we were hoping to speak to, has COVID and fortunately seems to be getting better now. But I was speaking to him the other day and he said to me, and I guess interesting from someone who grew up in Perth but lives on the East Coast, saying, what the hell are you thinking opening up? Look at what's going on here. And again, you know, we know that people make plans. They make plans to go on holidays. They spend money. It's devastating. People haven't seen their families for so long, but it's scary over there. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, if you're McGowan.
Yeah, I agree. And that, you know, that thing that you say, Kimber, is so important to keep front of mind on a day like today, I think, about everybody's experiencing this differently. My dad, he's double vaxxed, but he battled cancer last year and got past it, but was basically told, mate, you know, for you, there's a fair chance that COVID is a death sentence.
Right.
And for me, I'm on the side of it where born and bred here in Perth and my entire family's here. And, you know, I've got sprinkles of family over in other states and elsewhere around the world and so on and so forth that I haven't seen for quite some time. But, you know, keeping that front of mind for me is like, well, I'm thankful that the borders have been pushed back, but I'm also taking it with the understanding that I've got a lot of friends that are out there today that are lamenting the fact that that's the case because they haven't seen their family for quite some time because they live elsewhere. And I think we need to approach today with a modicum of whether you agree with it or not, we all just need a little bit of an understanding that this is an ever-changing situation and we need to just wrap our arms around each other today and care for each other a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think too, you know, it's normal to feel fear and confusion and anger. I absolutely understand when everyone is saying, hey, we've done the right thing. We went and got vaxxed. We did what you wanted. We wore the masks. We socially distanced. We did the things and now you've moved the goalposts. And I know that that's devastating for so many people. And that anger that you can feel and the fear and the confusion is all completely normal and legit. And you should talk to people about it. If you do need help, reach out to Lifeline on 13 11 14. You can call Beyond Blue. I know that they're helping a lot of people who are dealing with anxiety and having a lot of problems. So, you know, it's what you're feeling. Everyone's feeling it in a different way.
Yeah, and I think it's worthwhile also noting that even our leaders are struggling. You know, they're having to make decisions on our behalf that they know are going to annoy a certain group of people or not, and they've never experienced this either. And I certainly don't. I know we have we've lost a lot of faith in leadership over many, many years, but I also know that I'm glad I'm not in that position making those decisions.
I agree with you. Hey, there was one thing that I noticed last night, and I'm just going to play you a little bit of audio because this is something I've never heard. And I feel like over the last couple of years throughout this entire thing, we've heard things occasionally where, you know, I've gone, what's that? Can you say that again?
These are all the things we're trying to do our best to ameliorate and hopefully avoid. But if we can ameliorate, we will.
Ameliorate, guys.
I'm Googling it. I don't even know how to spell it. Oh, okay, I see. Make something.
I know what it means, but I don't want to sound like I'm.
Oh, no, tell us, myself. Please.
Please tell us.
Well, it means like if you've got a headache, you take a Panadol to ameliorate the pain, the symptoms, make it better.
Make better.
To make something bad or unsatisfactory better. So the reform, the example they give is, the reform did much to ameliorate living standards.
There you go.
I don't think I'm going to get many opportunities to use it in a sentence.
I'm suggesting it could be the top girl's name for 2023.
Now, I saw this image yesterday that just made me laugh. It brought me a lot of joy, actually, because it's an image of, just imagine, out on the water, out on the ocean or the river or whatever, and one of those big tubes. You know the tubes that you tie to the back of a speedboat and your parents put you on and they just say, hold on tight, and then they whip around the river and you go flying, right?
Yeah. Love it.
You know, if you haven't had the opportunity to do that, sucks for you because it was so much fun. Like, tubing was wicked. And what I loved about this image is it's an image of the tube flipping and these two people basically flying through the air, and it says on it, some of your parents never did this to you, and it shows. And I love it because I was like, yeah, you know, I guess times have changed. Kids don't get the same kind of roughhousing that maybe we got when we were younger. And I was thinking, all these situations that our parents put us in that were really dangerous that they didn't realize was dangerous or we didn't know. And I thought, tell us about the dangerous situation your parents put you in. Thought it could be fun.
I mean, my brother and I, we decided one day that we wanted to, I think we'd seen a program about parachuting. So we decided we wanted, and it was Prince Charles as a young man learning to be a paratrooper. And one of the things they have to do is jump off quite a high platform just to get used to what it would feel like when you hit the deck.
Oh, yeah.
So my brother and I just started jumping off our roof onto the lawn. And it was a long drop. And no one said anything. I think my dad watched us with a cigarette going, yeah, you're doing good. Make sure you stay. Get ready to roll.
Oh, God. I remember we were in like Alice Springs and we went to Kings Canyon, and then on a family holiday. And my sister got sick and my mum had to take her to hospital. And so she said, well, you and the kids are here. Just keep going. So dad took me and my brother and we continued trekking through Kings Canyon. We got up to the top and dad goes, whoa. Look at that ledge hanging out there. And there was this really risky rock hanging off the ledge of this massive, massive cliff. I mean, it's so high in the air. The gum trees look like ants. And dad's just like, just sit on the edge there and hang your legs off it and we'll take a great photo. Mum will love this. I mean, it was horrific. The photo is insane. And I'm like, you just put your two children on the edge of a cliff because you thought the photo would be rad.
Nah, she'll be right.
What dangerous situation did your parents put you in? We'll have a bit of a laugh what we got away with.
Bev in Hilbert, good morning to you.
Good morning, mate. Remember me? I'm the chicken plucker lady.
Oh, Bev, welcome back. How are you?
Legend.
I'm good, mate. How are you, guys?
Very well. Oh, Bev, I can't wait to hear the dangerous situation your parents put you in.
Oh, God. Well, we were on a, you know, family trip away to Busselton, and we went on that, like, mile-long bridge that they've got there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But before that, you paid, like, 20 cents, I think it was, to see this huge hammerhead shark that they'd caught in the waters.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, walking along the bridge, and my dad kind of went, oh, you know, like they try and push you off.
Oh, yeah.
And I fell in. So there was a wee boat there just near me, so that brought me into shore, and I was a wee chubby kid, and, you know, back then you got real crappy ice creams, you know, but that day I could have whatever, top shelf, you know?
Yeah, of course. Like,
get what you want. Made things better in those days, Bev. We just got a better ice cream.
Alex in the Swan Valley, good morning to you, mate. What's the dangerous sitch?
I had to do a piddle, and there was this electric fence.
You had to do a what, sorry?
A piddle?
A piddle.
Oh, okay.
It's the medical term for a wee-wee.
Yeah,
or a twinkle.
Yeah, that's the one. And I asked him if it's all right if my pay is touching the fence.
Oh.
And he goes, hey, it's not a problem. But I got an electric shock because, you know, I was peddling on this electric fence.
Did your dad know that it was dangerous?
Yes, he was an ambulance driver and he knew exactly what happened. But he got he got a good giggle out of that.
Wow.
He got a good giggle and you got a good piddle. Wow. There you go.
Wow. And just a reminder, there are clubs you can go to on a Saturday night that will do that for you.
He's one of Australia's funniest blokes who once held a Guinness World Record for the most jokes told in an hour. Get your stopwatches ready, people. It's Limo.
Excitement, happy new year, merry Christmas, all of the above.
My goodness, it is lovely
to be with you guys.
So good to have you back, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well and I'm excited. You know what? I've bitten the bullet, guys, and I'm flying over to see you lot on February 5 when that border opens up finally. I am on a plane, I'm booked, and I'm coming to see you all.
We wish that was true, bud.
He hasn't, has he? Has he?
Oh, he has.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be building the wall next. Seriously. What's going on? We want to see you guys. Are you missing us? We're missing you.
We absolutely are. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. I'll put it off until when? Has there been a date set for the reopening?
It's indefinite at the moment, but I think there's been a date set for whether or not we're going to secede from the rest of the country officially.
Okay.
But it'll be a soft secession.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Is it a secession where you just dig a hole across the SANT border and then slowly let WA drift towards, as he become an island, as it drifts towards South Africa?
Well, between Gina and Twiggy, we've got people who can dig that hole.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Hey, guys, I've got something for you today that I think is guaranteed to make you laugh because it always makes people laugh. And I don't quite understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why is it that whenever someone gets hit in the crackers, it is hilarious for all and sundry? I mean, funniest home video built, I don't know, what, 20 seasons on blokes copping one in the crackers. I went and caught up with a mate of mine this week for a bit of backyard cricket around at his house. And my mate decided he'd do a bit of filming of the backyard cricket. So he had the phone out. And he was filming, and at one point, he was filming while his son was bowling to him, and he obviously wasn't keeping a very close eye on the ball, and it's got him right where it shouldn't get him, and luckily he was filming it, so have a listen to this.
No. Yep.
Oh!
My favourite bit is how much his son laughs. Have a listen again and listen out for the son laughing at his dad copping it.
No. Yep.
Oh!
It's like maniacal.
It's really good gear. Then we're playing backyard cricket a bit later. I'm batting and a ball kind of dribbles off to the side and I'd backhander it with the bat trying to hit it back to the bowler. And my mate's filming, and it gets him again.
Oh!
Oh, rubber! Oh, that's a joke.
Right?
Oh!
Got it again. Jeez!
A second time.
I mean, are these things oversized? Are they sticking out? What's going on?
They are enormous. They've got their own weather system, Kimber. I tell you, they are huge. And it reminded me of the time in the Big Bash. I don't know if you remember this. There's a player called Liam Livingston who had a particularly bad night where he copped one early during the Big Bash. Have a listen.
Slip and play.
Oh! Oh.
And that wasn't because he missed the ball.
If you're not laughing, you're crying.
Everyone on the whole ground and in the crowd finds this funny except for you. Watch the eyes here.
He almost went cross-eyed.
I love the slow motion, like, because they slow it. You could hear him going.
Now, have a listen to this. This is literally 15 minutes later. This is Liam Livingston again.
Oh, no!
That, unfortunately, is the third time this evening.
Oh, wow.
He might not get up from this.
He's not in good shape.
Yeah, and when your partner's looking quite concerned, I think he's in a bit of strife.
Which partner, I wonder?
But just have a listen again, just to him saying, oh, no.
Oh, no!
So good.
magnificent stuff. But the greatest of all time is Ben Stokes playing for England, decides to start commentating as soon as he cops one right there.
God bless you, sir.
Do you know, Limo this morning, Pete was like, look, I get these audio grabs from Limo, and today he's given me a bunch of them. Like, I don't know what these, oh, there's so many of them. We had no idea they were all going to be about people getting hit in the plums with a ball.
Yeah, right. Well, I took a fair old guess when all four out of the five were called Nutshot.
mate, I'll bring some highbrow gear to the table, guys.
It's good to catch up with you, Limo. Really bloody good. Glad to hear you well, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Thank you, team. Looking forward to it.
Now, I guess like everyone, we've been preparing for February the 5th for the opening up of our borders, and devastating to hear on the news those business owners that, you know, can't believe what's happened and don't know what they're going to do next. So for the sake of transparency, we have been in preparations for what might happen after February the 5th. And one of those preparations is the ability to broadcast from home. So before last night's announcement, I was sent home with this pack, and I am now sitting in my house broadcasting to you this morning. And of course, we're seeing each other via the wonderful technology of Zoom. But as people have become very aware over the last 2 years, it's not until you open up a Zoom meeting that you see yourself and you realise how other people see you and indeed the way you live.
Yeah, let's discuss that, mate.
We've got quite a wide view of your house right now. And
Let's start with the attire. Now, possibly a little tight and more revealing than I would have hoped, my shorty shorts and my tank top. And, of course, rookie mistake, I'm downlit. And there's something about the downlighting that makes all those rolls of fat and those little man boobs just droop a little bit more than perhaps they would otherwise.
Slim. I think you look slim. Well, and your skin looks really radiant in that light.
Oh, does it?
Your skin looks great.
I might do everything via Zoom.
It's more about what's going on behind you for me.
I completely
understand, like, multifunctional spaces, because when we're working from home, and a lot of people have been doing this, and you're trying to negotiate with your family and stuff, trying to just fit a home office somewhere is tough. And Matt, you don't have that space, so you're kind of in the kitchen. And I like that you've made that work, because you can see you've got different spaces going on there and these multifunctional areas. And in particular, I like that one over to the right there, Pete. You might see, is it a stairwell landing or is it a storage facility?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're
There's
talking
a lot
about.
Of furniture on your stairwell landing.
Is that a tall boy? Why have you got a tall boy on your stairwell
landing?
There's
like another cabinet on the right-hand side of that. How do you get up the
stairs?
And
can you see that the elves on the shelves are still there as well?
Yeah, I also see that
the elves on the shelves are still there, but also I see that you've got a Chinese New Year lantern in the background, which I believe was from last February, hanging on the wall behind
you. We're very multicultural in this household. But, I mean, we do, there is five of us, and I include Turbo the Cat and Florence the Dalmatian, in a very small townhouse. So basically, when my beautiful wife and IT moved in together, two households went into one when one was already full. So we now live in what can only be described. You know when you go to a country town and you find one of those incredible curiosity shops that you can barely even squeeze your way through the little aisles? That's what I live in.
Yeah. Half your luck.
What a week, what a week, what a week, what a busy old week. Yeah.
There's been a little bit of us, telling the listeners what's really going on behind the scenes. Obviously, I'm broadcasting from home this morning as we sort of try to prepare for what we were anticipating on February the 5th, which was our borders opening and what might happen. But things changed so very, very fast. And of course, Mark McGowan's office didn't think it was necessary to get in contact with me yesterday when I was recording What a Week, as I produced a song that was around the anxiety about February 5th's opening and the wearing of face masks, which of course we're all doing again. So with that in mind, here's What a Week.
In light of the growing number of cases in Western Australia, Today we are raising the alarm. As of 6 p.m. tonight, we'll be reintroducing the mask mandate for all public indoor venues.
Put on my mask. My breath smells rude. Scent of my coffee lingers with last night's food. I'm feeling dark, head full of fears. Face mask, it hides my terror, but it shapes my ears. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till we'll be safe.
Glad you gave that preface there that maybe you'd written the song before the announcement.
Well, it was only 24 hours before the announcement, right. So, you know, things move very quickly these days.
He's the Aussie musician and activist who's gone from busking at the Fremantle markets to releasing 3 number one albums. Now he's joined forces with the Australian Literacy and Numeracy Foundation to narrate a young West Aussie's original work as part of a podcast called Story Kids. Please welcome John Bubba.
Out there amongst a heap of others, including Jay LaGaia, Nat Bassingthwaite, Paul Kelly, and so on and so forth, to help inspire families to make their homes a place where reading is commonplace. God, we love that. JBT, good morning to you, mate.
How are you guys?
Yeah, we're really good. John, this is a great idea. We've got kids writing stories but being read by people the likes of yourself. Now, kids definitely see the world differently to adults. So has that been pretty evident in their writing?
I mean, I haven't read like several of these kids' stories that were submitted, but Joa's story, you know, it was just a beautiful rendition of his kind of memory or his imagination or a mixture of both. And you know, I think it's always good to hear what's going on in the youth's head.
What are the youth thinking about at the moment?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's important to know how they see the world and just kind of remember how we used to see the world as well. Yeah. And it's good to kind of encourage kids and also just let them know how powerful they are and that their stories matter.
John, I have a 5-year-old and she's a really good reader, like astounding, but to the point where she's so passionate about it and loves it so much, she gets very upset if she doesn't have an opportunity to read a story at night before we go to bed. And I look at it and I go, I don't remember having that passion for reading when I was her age. Mm. And you've got a couple of kids. How do they go?
My daughter read so much. And this might slightly go against the interview's kind of main mission, but at the same time, I think it's a good anecdote, and that is my daughter read so much. I mean, she read, like, I think the Harry Potter series, like, 2 or 3 times. She wasn't just an avid, tenacious, voracious reader. She was almost a reading addict, and we had to tell her that she could only read 3 hours a day and that she must go outside.
Everyone else is trying to limit screen time. You're limiting book time.
Dude, it was like she would read 9 hours a day. It was amazing. Like for somebody who didn't do a lot of reading as a kid, I was like, wow. Okay. And then to the point where like, I cannot believe I'm doing this. you're not allowed to read anymore. Go outside. We've hit 4 hours straight of reading. Use your muscles. You'll lose muscle tissue. And my boy also was right into reading as well. Not as much as her, but I really kind of not envy, but admire and wish I read more as a kid myself, actually, because my daughter's a fantastic songwriter. And I think she gets a lot of her chops from just the amount of great literature she's read.
Well, John, also, I mean, the book, the story that you're reading, The Day the Rain Came, which, as you said, was written by 11-year-old Joa, and it's zooming in on the moment when the drought ended at the Karajini National Park. Is this a story that will be suitable? Is it for families, for everyone to listen to? Is it for kids? Is it for adults? Where's it aimed?
Oh, it's definitely aimed at everybody, pretty much. It's just one young man's kind of recollection. And yeah, I mean, it's not R-rated. it's not a long story. It just shows that kind of the snapshot. But Joey does it in such a way that you can actually kind of smell and taste and see the kind of country.
I just have one more question for you, John, is who the bloody hell is Joey's agent? Because I can't get my manuscript read.
I don't know. Maybe you just have to, I got it. Well, you have like an alter ego, pretend like you're an adolescent kid, and submit it and see how you go.
All right, I'll give it a crack.
Could be the next one you're reading, John Butler. Story Kids Season 4 now available featuring Aussie kids brought to life by Aussie stars. This stuff inspires families, getting them to make their homes a place where reading is what you do and it's a favourite pastime. You can check out more at storykids.com.au. Thanks for your time this morning, mate. Nice to catch up.
Likewise. Thank you guys once again for your moment, your time. And yeah, thanks again.
Bless you, mate.
Thanks, John.
See you, mate. Take care, mate.
Bye. Please edit this.
Yeah,
bye.
See you, buddy.
See you, bud.